Lord, I just want to give you this time. I want to give you my voice, and I want to give you the word. Lord, I want to pray that you'd use it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this morning as we were praying before the meeting, I felt like God said that he wants to reaffirm in our hearts and in our minds that we are a priesthood of all believers, that God's called us into a priesthood. He hasn't called us to be spectator Christians or consumer Christians or even, you know, just people that just come to get, but he's called us to be people who give and who step into what it means to be a priest in the body. And that what a priest does is he attends to the needs of others. And so Proverbs 14 verse 4 says, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. In other words, if you don't, you know, you want a clean manger, you can't have oxen. If you want to have oxen, which would represent provision and wealth and sustenance and those things, if you want to have that, you're going to have a mess to clean up. It's like those of us who have children. You know, we want children because we want to reproduce our love that we have with our spouse, and so we want to have kids, and we want to have the joy that they bring. But we also know that they come with dirty diapers and spit up and crying and being awake. So it's like you can't have one without the other. And it's that way in the church. It's like we want to be a part of a body. We want to be a part of a church. We want to be connected. And the reality is with connection comes complication. With connection comes mess. It comes, you know, it's like when we get married, you know, it's before we get married, for most of us, we expect it to be, roses and butterflies. And then after you get married, you realize that there's other stuff that comes along with it that there's good and there's difficult. And so, and it's that way in the church, that there's good stuff and there's difficult stuff. There's times when we are celebrating and charging and pushing forward, and we are charging the front to worship, and we are seeing people get saved, and but there's also times where we're dealing with the reality of where there's oxen, there's mess. We're dealing with the difficult things that people are going through, and we're dealing with the pain that people are experiencing. We're dealing with hurts from the past and hurts from the present. And you know, there are things that are there's conflict and there's relational issues and there's sin from the past and the present, and there's the consequences of that sin, and there's those things that, and it's all part and parcel to being part of a family, the family of God. I wrote here, being a part of a body of believers or a family is a messy privilege. I don't know about everybody here, but I grew up in what they would call a dysfunctional home, a dysfunctional family. My parents divorced when I was very, very young, and that was my mom's second divorce. She was by the time I was about 3 years old, she was a single mother with five children with no support from the fathers. And while I have some fond memories of my childhood, I have a lot of not so nice memories from my childhood. And the reality is that when we get into, remember I was the youngest of five kids. And, you know, that can get messy. It can get complicated. And I grew up in a family where there was divorce and drug addiction and immorality and conflict and pain and all those things. When you get around a lot of people, the more people get around, the more potential there is for mess. And church can be like that. The more we grow in number, the more we grow in intimacy, the more potential we have for mess. The more we have the potential to have to deal with real issues in people's lives. And in Proverbs 68, it says, "Father of the fatherless and protector of the widow of widows is God in His holy habitation. God settles in the solitary in a home. He leads out prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land." It says he brings the lonely into families. He brings the broken into families. He brings the hurt and the dysfunctional. He brings us into a family. And that means that even though we may have worked through things and we may have dealt with issues and we may have come out on the other side into a healthy place, God's going to always be adding others in who are bringing their junk with them. And it's like I said, it's a messy privilege that we get to help God, that the way He fathers the fatherless is by using us to father those among us that are maybe broken, that maybe have, maybe going through a difficult time. Last week we had Roger and Tracy, who are our friends from the States who've been here, who were here for the last 5 months, that came and they shared their testimony of the time that they've had here. And they came to us very broken, like broken. Like, I've known them for over 20 years. I've known them to have difficult health. You know, Tracy thinks she's had cancer twice. They have a son who had a brain tumor, who now has epilepsy. I've seen them go through a lot of things, but nothing like what they've experienced in the last 6 months here. And we got to be a part of God bringing healing into their marriage, into their family, into their situation. And it wasn't neat and tidy. It was messy. There were messy times. There were moments where it could have gone either way. But God broke through and He did something miraculous and we got to be a part of that. But it was messy. And so into the context of church and family and what it means to be the body of Christ, because so much of the church is really they are unconsciously or consciously looking for what they actually don't need. So much of the church is out there looking for a Sunday morning experience, and to be entertained and to be brought into something that doesn't really matter. And they don't actually know that what they need is they need the messy. They want it to be clean and tidy and perfect, and they want to be able to cross the T's and dot the I's and set their watch to the time and the service, and they want to be a part of something that feels kind of perfect. And what they don't know is that they need the messy. We need the messy. We need someone to come alongside us and to step on our toes and to make us uncomfortable and to challenge us, because when we get uncomfortable, we begin to identify those areas in our life that are not Christ-like. We begin to see those areas in our life that God wants to tweak and to change and to fix. And it's into that context that Paul writes to the Galatians in chapter 6, and he says this. He says, "Brother, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." He says to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." I'm going to stop right there. And just, I want to talk about what does that mean to us to bear one another's burdens. And I honestly really, I have 5 minutes. So I'm going to do my absolute best to try and talk about what it means for us to be part of a body, part of a family, to be a priesthood of all believers who go and we love and we care for each other and we look after each other and we go after the one, like Jesus said, You know, who among you, if you have 99, if you have 100 sheep and you have 99 sheep and one goes missing, who among you doesn't go out and chase after and look after and find that other one so you can bring it back? And when you find it, you throw it on your shoulders and you go back and you tell your friends, come, let's celebrate. I found my lost sheep. And Paul's saying here, listen, it's our responsibility, it's our opportunity, it's our messy privilege to look after each other, to go after the one, to go find those that are struggling. And he says, and then you have to bear each other's burdens. Even if that burden is something that is a trespass that person's carrying. Sometimes our inclination is to look at someone who has sin in their lives and to judge them and to reject them and to push them away because, man, that guy's a sinner. He drinks too much. Or, man, that guy yells at his wife and he's angry. Or that guy has an issue with, you know, sexual immorality. And so ours, because we want to be self-righteous and because we have a need within ourselves to feel good about ourselves, we want to just cast judgment on that guy, because if I cast judgment on you, Hervé, I feel better about myself. If I say, Hervé's got this sin in his life, man, I feel better about myself. It makes me feel more comfortable. It makes me feel more relaxed. I'm like, okay, man, I'm better than Ricky. And what Paul is saying here is that that is not what we're called to do. We have to see our own humanity first. And then we look at the others around us and we say, man, I got to bear your burden. If it's your, you know, Sean, if it's your problem, it's my problem. You know, at Josh Jen, we have a motto that when you take our starting point course and you decide, hey, I'm going to be a member of Josh Jen, and we have a motto that says, what's in your fridge is mine. And what's in my fridge is yours. And that is a really amazing, wonderful quality about us as believers. But I want to remind us this morning that it's not just about sharing what we have resource-wise. But it's about sharing who we are. It's about sharing what God has entrusted to us. It's about loving each other and going after each other and caring about each other and being relentless in our pursuit of each other. Relentless in our pursuit of coming to Jesus as a family. If we're all, if he sets the lonely in families and really our destinies lie together, man, I can't go farther than you go, than you, and you can't go farther than me. We're all tied together. We're all tied to the altar together. And so I felt like this morning God wanted to encourage us and remind us of our messy privilege of looking after each other, of loving each other, of caring for each other. I felt like God wants to remind us this morning of the messy privilege we have of sitting down and thinking, who haven't I seen? You know, this lockdown thing has been, it's just, none of us have experienced anything like this in our lives as believers. It's just a completely different experience for everyone. And so, we had a men's meeting yesterday, and it was a really wonderful time together with the men. And I was reminding the men that some people have not handled this time well. Some people that you maybe have who you would maybe expect to handle it well haven't handled it well. And we can't become complacent in caring for each other. We can't accept the, hey, how are you? I'm fine. We can't accept that, hey, how you doing? I'm doing good. We can't settle for that. We can't accept that. We have to be. It's our obligation as a priesthood of all believers, as a body of believers, as those that the Father has put into family. It's our obligation to make sure that we are looking out for each other and we're bearing each other's burdens. That means we're. That means if it's whether it's a transgression, a sin, whatever, or whether it's just a hurt, a brokenness. We're called to bear each other's burdens. We're called to love each other. We're called to go after each other like Christ would go after us. It was Jesus who said, if the one goes, do you go after it? And I can just imagine Jesus being an actual shepherd with 99 sheep and how each one of those sheep would be looked after and cared for and taken care of. And I feel like, again, as elders, we're doing our best. I mean, if you guys knew how hard my wife works to just make sure, she's constantly going around but man, it is a big job. I was looking through our list of the members of Sunningdale AM, and there's over 500 names on our list. So imagine 500 people that you have to think, how are they doing? Where is that person? Now into the mix you add that we are in separate rooms. So there's people here coming to church this morning that I don't even know are here. There's, in fact, more than half the people at church this morning, I don't know that they're here. I'm not going to see them, talk to them, they're not going to see me. So I'm looking through that list and I'm thinking, man, I want to know. And so our elders work hard to go after the sheep. But it's not just us. We're called to be a priesthood of all believers. And it's not just that we look after the people in our congregation. Because I see that we have, I think we have some visitors here this morning, and we have some people that, but who in your life do you need to check on? Who in your life do you need to say, God, whose burden do I need to carry today? Who needs a call from me? Who needs a check-in from me? Who needs me to love them today? Who needs me to go after them? Who needs me to confront them in their sin? Because it says, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. That's if they're caught in a transgression. Does that mean it's not just my responsibility, it's your responsibility? Man, if you see someone who's drifting from God, you see someone who is, I don't really need... What he's talking about is there's a pride here. There's people that are saying, I don't really need to go to church. I'm fine. I'll just watch it on television. And I can probably guarantee that most of those people actually aren't even watching it on television. But if you see someone drifting, it's your responsibility to go after them. The elders, yes, we're going to give an account, but it's still your responsibility. If you see someone drifting into sin, or out of fellowship. So this morning, I just wanted to encourage you, I'm really out of time. My challenge to you this morning is, if you are the one who's drifting, then you just push yourself back in. If you need to repent, repent. If you need to forgive, forgive. But the other challenge I have this morning is I want to encourage you that you go after someone. Or you at least do the exercise of, is there someone you want me to go after? Is there someone that's missing, drifting, hurting? And the only way you're going to find out, most likely the only way you're going to find out if someone's hurting is if you go and ask them, hey, how are you doing? Tell me how you're doing. I'm fine. Tell me, what does that mean? Tell me about your week. How are you doing with God? How are your quiet times? How is your prayer time? How is your time in the Word? Are you doing those things, or are you finding it harder and harder to press into God? And my encouragement to you today is that God has called us to be a priesthood of all believers. And I want to encourage you to be a priesthood of all believers. Look after each other. Go find people. Pour yourself out for them. Just like at some point, on one day someone did for you. I think we probably all could get up and share a story of someone that came and reached for us when we needed to be reached for, came and grabbed us when we needed to be grabbed, confronted us in an area of sin that needed to be confronted in, who walked us through and helped restore us. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to close. Would you mind coming and playing a little bit? I'm going to ask that Mac and Nadine, if you guys could come stand over here. And Ricky and Rihanna, could you come stand over here? One of our limitations, and I'm supposed to announce a couple of things, but let me finish this. But some of our limitations are just the amount of time we have to have between our meetings. So I do have to draw to a close. And I know this has been a very abbreviated message this morning. But I feel like I want us to hear the voice of God. I want us to hear the prompting of God. I wonder if that, as I've been speaking, you thought of someone, even if it's just one person. I thought, man, I wonder how that person's doing. I want us to hear the prompting of God this morning. I want to hear his spirit. But you might be in a position where, man, you're really struggling. You've been having a difficult time and you need prayer this morning. As I dismiss, I'm going to just, Mac and Nadine are here to pray, Ricky and Ron are here to pray, and Margaret and I can pray. Don't leave without getting prayed for if you need prayer this morning. But I'm just saying, I want to pray for us, and I want to pray that as we spend time with God this week, we'll ask him, who can we go after? Especially the people who are part of this congregation. But is there someone you haven't seen? Is there someone that God puts on your heart? Even if they're doing great, even if you've seen them, it never hurts to call and say, hey, I just, you know, I was praying for you and I wanted to check in and see how you're doing. So Lord, I pray that you would activate us, Father, as a priesthood of all believers. You would activate us as those who are sensitive to hear your voice and to follow your lead. Father, I pray that you wouldn't allow us to be those that wait and let someone else do it, but we'd be those that say, God, let me do it. God, use me. Here I am. Send me. Father, will you make us like those shepherds who go after the one? Lord, that this week, this congregation will be like, we'll be all over it, God, in a way that brings such glory and honor and blessing to you. Lord, I pray for every single person here who may have been struggling through the lockdown time, who may still be struggling, that every single person here, God, will just know. They'll know that your arm is around them, Father, and that you're drawing them back in. We thank you in Jesus' name.